Okay, welcome everyone to another edition of Natural Dog Blog Radio. I am Neil Satin, your host, and today we have a really amazing guest to talk with us. Her name is Gina Lake, and her website is radicalhappiness.com. Now, I have to tell you that Gina and I, we met through dailyohm.com. Some of you may remember that I released a course there a couple months ago called How to Speak So Your Dog Will Listen. And it just so happened that at the very same time that my course was released, Gina also released a course called How to Quiet the Mind. And it occurred to me that it would be great to talk to Gina, because so frequently when I'm writing about how to work with your dog or how to confront what's going on within you while you're working with your dog, or how what's going on within you affects what's happening with your dog, I often talk about being present, being in the moment, and using the way that you work with your dog to do that. So what could be better than talking to someone who is an expert in being present in the moment and how that lends itself to a much more relaxed and happy and peaceful existence for the human and ultimately for dogs as well. Although I have to say, I think Gina was kind of perplexed when I first wrote to her and said, yeah, I want to interview you for my dog training site. So welcome, Gina, and I really appreciate your being here to talk today.
Oh, thank you, Neil. I'm happy to be here and talk with you and find out more about how these two things do fit together.
Great. Well, they absolutely do, as we started to talk about before this conversation, and everyone now will benefit from our conversation, I think, in hearing that synthesis of our perspectives. So before we start, I'm wondering if you wouldn't mind just giving a quick little introduction to the listeners here, so they have a sense of who you are, what you do, and why we're here talking today.
Okay, sure. I am a spiritual writer, counselor, and I do both one-to-one consultations with people over the phone, generally over the phone, and I've written 8 books primarily about how to be in the now, how to move out of the busy egoic mind and into the present moment, and to find happiness, because that's where happiness lies, in that present moment, in being able to just be very present to life and in out of your mind and in your senses and really experiencing the moment. There is a deep abiding happiness and peace and contentment that exists in whenever we are not absorbed in thought but are in the present moment. And that's the happiness that I call radical happiness, which is the name of my website. And so I help teach people about how to move out of the egoic mind, which is that noisy voice in your head that comments about life, evaluates, that gives you a sense of separation and a sense of worry and problems and all of that, how to move out of that egoic mind and into the present moment, into the experience of the being, the spiritual being that you are, who is right here, right now, living in this moment and listening to these words and having the experience that it's having right now. And what we were talking about, Neil, before we began this call, is that it does seem that one of the gifts that dogs offer us and all animals offer us is that they are a real example of just being in their senses and in the sensory experience of the moment and in their dogness. They're in their dogness, and it's not cluttered up by thoughts about the past and thoughts about the future, at least to our understanding. Certainly not cluttered as much as we humans are. So there's such an experience of pure beingness in the moment, and it helps when we're with our dogs. It helps us to be in the moment. We move into the moment just by being with them and by playing with them, and that's one of their great gifts. So I do see that connection.
Yes, and coming from my perspective, so often when people experience problems with their dogs, or they're not getting quite the behavior that they want with their dog, that's frequently exacerbated by the inner dialogue that people have while those things are happening. So if you're out walking your dog and your dog starts barking at some other dog, what's ideal is if one can just have the experience of, oh, my dog is barking. My dog's feeling energy, feeling a connection, a pull to that other dog. And now I have to do something about that. I have to respond in some way. But instead, what frequently happens is someone's dog starts barking, and immediately the egoic mind starts chiming in, saying, "Oh, what's wrong with you? Your dog just barks at other dogs, or your dog will never get along with other dogs, or maybe I'll never get along with people who have dogs, or whatever it is." The thoughts and feelings can start spinning out of control, and all of that is very counterproductive to simply being in the moment and making a choice about how to respond in the moment that can be helpful, particularly in a situation where your dog is doing something that you don't necessarily want your dog to do.
Exactly. You bring up such a good point, because this absorption in thoughts, in what I call kind of our virtual reality, because people, we're really programmed to pay attention to our thoughts and to get very absorbed in our thoughts. And we're programmed to believe that this is a good place to be, a functional place to be, that we need to be thinking about things. We need to be figuring out things and planning things and worrying about things and thinking about the past and fantasizing about the future. We really think we need those thoughts, when in fact those thoughts take us out of reality, and they actually make us less effective and less functional in our life. They clutter our reactions, our responses with all sorts of negativity and feelings. Like in your example, if the dog starts getting upset because there's another dog approaching, and your dog's had some bad behavior with that in the past, you're likely to have thoughts about worry and then fear, and probably you would say, because I've heard other people say who work with dogs, is that the dogs pick up on that fear, and that's actually quite a dysfunctional place for you to be in, to be absorbed in your thoughts, in thoughts that create fear. Then you're not able to respond from this very wise, rational, simple place of being in the moment. Because this being that we are, this real self, this true self, is moving through life in a very wise manner, and it knows exactly how to keep us safe, how to respond in any moment. And thoughts tend to clutter that or interfere with that or cloud that or color our just native, innate, wise response to life that this being that we are knows how to do, and also draws upon our information and knowledge base that's stored, within us. And so it's not a very functional place at all to be lost in your thoughts and to be having feelings. And dogs respond to those fears. So So that's true, huh? They do pick up on people's fear.
Absolutely. Yeah, I like to think of dogs as these big kind of stereo receivers, and they're picking up on whatever emotionally is happening in their environment. So, you know, it could be they're picking up on the feeling in a person approaching or in the dog that's approaching. But generally, if you're connected to your dog via a leash, then you have kind of a direct conduit between whatever is going on within you and your dog's experience. Mm-hmm. And it can make a huge difference. Not that it's necessarily curative. In other words, not that just simply being calm and in the moment is going to take care of a dog's own fear or tension. But certainly you have to be there in order to be able to really respond effectively. And there does seem to be an ease of communication that happens. The more relaxed and present you are, then the easier it is for you and your dog to vibrate in harmony, so to speak, and for them to really get the message that you're sending them. If the message is different than what they're experiencing right then and there. So if your dog is, you know, going with this example that we've been using, if your dog gets physically tense and fearful from seeing another dog, then what you want to be able to communicate to your dog is, you know, that's okay. And all that anxiety, all that energy that you're feeling in that moment, I want you to give that to me, because I can give you a safe way to release whatever stress you're feeling and to actually feel good. And so you want to be able to communicate that really clearly to your dog. But if that message is being cluttered with your own fear, anxiety, tension, then your dog almost doesn't know what to pay attention to in that mm-hmm. moment. So it's really helpful for having your messages to your dog be clear and easy to understand.
That's very interesting. It seems like an unusual approach. Did you develop this yourself?
I did not. I think, you know, some of this conversation does reflect maybe a unique spin on the techniques of natural dog training. They were actually created by a man named Kevin Behan, and he lives in Vermont, and he has been my mentor in the dog world since I apprenticed with him a number of years ago. So his approach tends to be that through working with your dog, you can actually resolve things that are happening within you, because your dogs are a mirror to what's happening within you. And in fact, he's going to have a book that's coming out in the next several months. I think it's sometime after the new year, called Your Dog is Your Mirror. Mm. So very interesting stuff. And my approach has simply been to add the element of really helping the humans deal with whatever's going on within them, along with implementing the dog work. It's just, you know, more natural for me, I think, to work that way, because I work with people. And, you know, Kevin, he works with people too, but he also has the benefit of, you know, people leave their dogs with him for long, long periods of time, so he gets a lot of one-on-one time with dogs. I don't do that so much, so I get a lot of time with people, and so on that level, I'm always looking for ways to help people change the habits that they have that are creating, or at least part of the habits that their dogs have.
Yeah,
and those can be those can be physical habits, you know, or they can be habits of mind or habits of emotion.
It's really, it's very interesting. Yeah, and we really do create our experience of reality by how we think about it. And, you know, when you talk about changing habits, you know, I think I probably am more in the business of helping people change their thought habits, you know, their habits of how they think, or they change their relationship to their thoughts. And when you change your relationship to your thoughts, your life changes, because in a sense, in any moment, there are two possible experiences. There is the possibility of you being lost in your thoughts and believing your thoughts, which often in many cases for people are thoughts of worry, judgment, fear, you know, more negative kinds of things. Or you can just be present in this moment with those thoughts in the background. They may still arise, but you're not really buying into them. You're not really believing them. They're there, and in the meantime, you are just experiencing whatever you're experiencing in the moment. What are you seeing? What are you feeling? What are you sensing? And people create a really scary reality for themselves sometimes. If they have a lot of scary thoughts and they're believing them, for instance, then their reality becomes really scary. Or if they're having a lot of sad thoughts that they're focusing on and they're feeding and they're believing, then their reality, their experience of reality becomes really sad.
Can you talk about that a little bit more? Because it makes perfect sense to me, but I just want to make sure that it makes sense to everyone listening, this idea of it, whether or not you're believing your thoughts. You know, why wouldn't you believe your thoughts? How might your thoughts maybe not be true? If you can talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, well, you know, we as humans are programmed to believe whatever thoughts are going through our mind. It's part of how our brains are wired, or how we're just programmed as humans for whatever reason. I don't really know how this all works, but we automatically pay attention to the thoughts that go through our mind. We believe that they are our thoughts, that they are meaningful, that they are true. And this causes a lot of suffering and a lot of problems for people, because those thoughts that go through our mind are often very negative, they are not true, they are not useful, and they take us out of reality, out of the real experience of what we're having. And so the spiritual path, really, and spiritual progress is really about discovering the truth about one's own mind, that it is a program, that there is a lot of conditioned thought that comes through the mind. Where do thoughts come from? They pop into the mind and they disappear. Where did they come from? And as humans, we generally don't question our thoughts. You know, this programming causes us to just follow them, to respond automatically to them without questioning them. And it's a huge step in our spiritual growth and our evolution towards happiness when we begin to see that there's a choice, that our thoughts, when we begin to become more aware of our thoughts and really notice what's going on in our mind and question them, we begin to see that our thoughts are really quite dysfunctional. They don't have a lot to offer us. They paint quite a negative picture in most cases for most people about themselves, about life, about others. They're judgmental. They're contradictory too when you really start to look. We've got all sorts of conditioning ideas, beliefs that contradict each other. And so if we base our life and our actions and responses to life on this programmed conditioned thought that goes through our mind, we're going to get into trouble because it isn't a wise master. It's our programming. It's our software. And the software, I don't know who put it there, but just kidding, but, you know, it's kind of screwed up. It's the spiritual teachers say it's the cause of suffering, the cause of suffering. And so we don't need these thoughts in the egoic mind, the I thoughts, I need this, I have this, I like this, I want this, I have to have this, this happened to me, I want this to happen to me. All of this I generates a lot of tension and discontentment. The state of listening to one's thoughts is a state of discontentment. So the way out of discontentment and towards happiness is recognizing the truth about one's thoughts, that they are generated by an ego, by a false self, by a sense of limitation and separation that isn't our true nature. And when you learn to be able to step back from your thoughts, and meditation is the greatest practice we have for learning to detach from or step back from thoughts and observe them and notice them without identifying with them, believing them, and just accepting them without questioning. Once you begin to get some distance from your thoughts, you recognize that you are able to live beautifully in this world with much more contentment and happiness and peace, and that you didn't really need all of those thoughts. And in fact, they kept you from aligning with your true nature, which is a place of contentment with life and a place of wisdom. There's a deep wisdom that comes through us intuitively about how to move in this world, what to say, what to do at any particular time. But we have to be present in the moment in order to access that wisdom, in order to speak from that place, in order to act from that place. We can't be lost in thought. We can't be lost in this virtual reality of this I, and I need this, and my life is going this way, and I have this problem, and he shouldn't have said this, and I need to do this. Lost in that whole virtual reality is actually a very dysfunctional place. It's much more functional to just be very present in the moment, in the here and now. But because we're programmed to believe that this being lost in the mind is actually a functional place, and we're programmed to not trust the more intuitive presence that we are, it's a backwards kind of a world, and it can be difficult to shift out of believing the mind and trusting our innate being.
So I'm wondering if you could give us a sense of a way for someone to experience to experience for themselves the difference between the noticer, the observer, and the egoic mind, or those, you know, the program, the software that's being run. Because I totally agree with you that that when you recognize that that your thoughts aren't necessarily leading you anywhere, or that, you know, they're just the product of a machine in a way, like your brain and the programming that you've picked up over the course of your life in probably a somewhat haphazard manner, that, you know, that can of course be reshaped and reprogrammed so that it's actually functioning more in alignment with what's behind your mind. But I'm wondering if you can, just so people listening can maybe get, maybe a concrete experience is not necessarily the right choice of words, but a real experience of the ground behind the thoughts that pop in, pop out, and create so much trouble.
Yeah, that's a good question. And actually, it's very easy to tell the difference between when you are identified with this egoic or false self and when you are more aligned with the wisdom of your true being, the when you are believing your thoughts and you're lost in this false self, there's a sense of contraction, of discontentment, of unhappiness, of striving, of trying, of needing more, of not being enough. And that is how most people feel a good part of the time. That's the egoic experience, and it's a painful experience, an experience of limitation, contraction, of never getting enough, never having enough, or being enough. And so there isn't a possibility of happiness when you are caught up in this egoic machinery and thought and the thoughts that are produced by the ego. There isn't a possibility of happiness, because as soon as you get something that you want that you think will make you happy, you're unhappy with it again, or you're unhappy with something else, or you need more of it, or whatever. So there's no happiness in that realm of egoic mind and identification with this false self, this virtual reality. There's only happiness when you can drop out of that place and into the present moment. And the way you do that is by paying attention to anything but your thoughts, really. It's kind of funny, but the only thing that can cause you to have this egoic experience is thinking all of your thoughts about me, I, you know, all of the I thoughts. And I want to differentiate between the functional mind, the mind that we use to read a book or to calculate something or to follow a map. Those thoughts are functional. They're very useful. We need the mind to read and to do things. The mind that's problematic, that creates the suffering and the contraction and the sense of false self, is this egoic mind that talks at you, that uses language like, I need this, and I want this, and you should do this, and he should have done that, and so on. That's the problematic aspect of the mind. When you can stop focusing on those thoughts and focus instead on what's actually happening, what are you actually experiencing besides thought? What are you seeing? What are you feeling? What are you hearing? What are you sensing internally? And what are you intuiting? What urges or drives are moving in you to do or to speak? This is real life. Real life is this combination of sensations and internal sense of things, of movement to do things, of drive and spontaneous action. This is the reality of your true nature. When you're in that place of alignment with that, there's a sense of expansion, peace, relaxation, contentment, that all is well. And so that's the difference. Very, very different state of consciousness, really. When I say state of consciousness, that makes it sound like it might be a difficult thing to shift from one to the other. But the only difference is what you're giving your attention to. If you give your attention to an I thought, I need this, I want this, I have to have this, so on and so on. If you give your attention to those I thoughts, then you move into that virtual reality, and that becomes your experience. Whereas if you give your attention to anything else but that kind of machinery of I, instead you give your attention to, oh, what am I experiencing here and now? What am I seeing? What is the experience of doing this? Then you drop into this place of contentment, this place of the true self. So it's a matter of where you direct your attention. And anybody has that choice of directing their attention either to a thought or to something they're seeing or experiencing in some other way. And you have that choice once you realize you have that choice. But because the programming's so strong, people don't often realize they have a choice. They're just responding automatically. to whatever's coming up in their mind. And that's not a place of freedom. That's not a place of happiness either. So
right.
the spiritual teachings that I'm dealing with and that other teachers, they're pointing to this place of moving out of the false self and the experience it creates into the real experience of your true nature.
So I like that, like I'm imagining someone being in a moment and basically, if you can at least, you have to at least, I think, recognize that you're having thoughts, you know, that,
yeah.
This experience I'm having, this negative experience I'm having, it's because I'm having these thoughts. I'm thinking about there's something wrong with my dog, or I'm going to be late, my spouse is going to kill me, or, you know, whatever it is. And instead, to shift your attention to, you know, the wind is, what do you see? Oh, simply describe it. The wind is blowing in the trees. It's fall here in Maine, so the leaves are falling from the trees. Everything is red. Everything's shimmering. Real, like, kind of grounded in sensory experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the sensory experience is the doorway into the now, into the present moment, and into the experience of your true nature. And most meditation is based on focusing on some sense, focusing the mind on some sensory experience, and that will take you out of the mind and into the now. Because you can only pay attention to one thing at a time fully. You can't pay attention to your mind and fully be in your senses at the same time.
Mm.
And so if you put your attention fully into your senses, you are not going to be able to, you're not going to be thinking.
Right. And what I like to think, it used the word now, but about the way that I try to help people work with dogs is that it's about being present in the moment with your dog. So if you are noticing your dog is feeling tense, or your dog is suddenly has their eyes glued on something in the distance, then that's a sensory experience that pull you right into the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, then when you're working with your dog, all you're dealing with is my dog's feeling a certain way and I want to resolve that feeling for my dog. And you can forget about whatever mental chatter might get in the way of you simply having that experience with your dog.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The other thing that popped up for me too, because you were talking about the problematic nature of all the I thoughts, is that the more someone can kind of hold a sense of contribution or being of service to their dog or to the people around them, then that's also a good way. I guess you're still saying, how can I, so the I is still in there, but then it's followed with, how can I help this other being with their current experience?
Well, you know, that's an example of a thought that you could say comes from essence, you know, the desire to help another sentient being, you know, another being. It isn't even a thought. It's actually a deeper intention or drive of essence, this true nature, to be of service. And so it isn't really an I thought in the way that I was pointing at I thoughts. It's good to make that distinction, perhaps. But you know, if the kind of I thoughts that the egoic mind generates tend to cause you to feel contracted when you think them. So if you're having an I thought, just notice, how does it make your body feel when you say, "I need this. I need this." That is not a place of expansion, relaxation. That's a place of tension and contraction, of limitation. There's a sense of lack behind it. But if you say, "I want to do whatever I can to support you," how does that make your body feel? Well, that I thought makes my body feel expansive and relaxed and good and loving. So that's an I thought that is not a problematic one. It's not coming from your egoic self, but that's coming from the deeper true self, really. Because the true self's all about, I love, I serve, I learn, I grow, I celebrate life, I'm grateful for life. All of those kinds of thoughts are expressions of this deeper nature. But, I need, I want, I don't have, I don't like, all of that, you can just feel the contraction and tightness in that. That's the false self. So that's how you tell the difference between the two, and that can be your guideline.
Right, and you could tell in our original example with the dog on the walk, if your thoughts were, I need to stop my dog from barking, or this is, I don't want to look bad in the eyes of these other people, or, all of those thoughts are going to make you feel completely different than the, oh, my dog's having an experience. How can I help? How
exactly.
can I help this experience?
Right. Very good.
Well, Gina, I feel like we could keep right on talking, and, I love what you have to say. I think what you offer is very helpful to people in general, but especially to people who are working with their dogs and trying to just be present and get out of their own way when it comes to, just simply having their dog come when called or get along well with other dogs. So I really appreciate your time today, and I want to encourage everyone to visit Gina's site, which is radicalhappiness.com. Love that name. And I'll probably also set up a page. Let's call it naturaldogblog.com/quietmind. And so I'll set up a little page there that, has maybe some more thoughts about our conversation today for people who are interested. And I'd love to talk again at some point in the future if you're open to that.
Yeah, thank you, Neil. That'd be fine. That'd be great.
Great. And I guess I'll close this with, I read this quote of yours, and I think it's really awesome, so I'm going to just read this, and we'll close with this. So thank you, everyone, for listening. And these are the words of Gina Lake. The more we bring our focus into the present moment and onto our actual experience, as opposed to focusing on our thought, the more we experience the joy and contentment of the spiritual being that we are. And then I'll just add at the end, with our dogs. Thanks so much, Gina.
Oh, thank you, Niels. Lovely talking with you. It sounds like you're doing some great work.
Likewise. Take care.